Well, good morning and welcome wherever you are watching from today. I hope that you are doing well. Today, things look a little bit different as we prepare for our Carols experience. These are happening all over the next few weeks. Can you believe that it is already this time of year? It feels like just yesterday we were putting last year's decorations away, and now our tree is back up. The tinsel is out. Yes, we have tinsel on our tree. Apparently it's in again. I have no idea how, but here we are. I am excited to talk to you today. I mean, I'm always excited to share, but today I am especially excited because we are launching our Christmas series, and I have a word for you that will hopefully encourage you and point you to Jesus. Now, it's no secret, I absolutely love Christmas. Everything about it, the traditions, the joy, the gatherings, the lights, but most of all, I am obsessed with the reality of what Christmas is all about. That God Himself came, put skin, flesh, and bone on, and chose to dwell with us. Today, I am kicking off a series of messages as we journey through Advent. Now, you may have heard that word before, but basically, Advent just means arrival. For the nerds amongst us, it comes from two Latin words, which means ad, which to, and vent, which means come. Usually, Advent is expressed in more traditional aspects of our faith. And I know that we live in a time that we celebrate new and innovation, and it's very easy for traditions to quickly feel irrelevant. We look at old systems and structures and practices that have been carried through the century and think that these can just be relics of a bygone era, elements of religious formality. But what it really is, what I would encourage you, is to consider Advent, consider all of these things as well-worn paths discovered by men and women who have gone before us to discover God, to discover grace and wisdom and revelation that people throughout the centuries have discovered as ways of experiencing the fullness of life with Christ. These are tools that we can place ourselves before God, that He can do His work, restoring, renewing, and transforming us. Historically and typically, Advent refers to the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and it's not just a means of counting down the days till Christmas like a kid with their beautiful Lego or chocolate, or in our house, we have a Warheads Advent calendar. It's not just a means of counting down the days until Christmas comes. It is a tool for us to use to pause, to reflect, to consider the incredible truth that God came down to us. The Creator stepped into creation. The infinite put on the limitations of the finite. This past week, we had something happen in our house that we have been waiting for 18 months. 18 months, it's a double pregnancy. This week, we got, for the very first time, and I know that you're very excited for this, we got a driveway. We've been waiting since we moved into our place for a brand new driveway. And for 18 months, we've talked about it, we've planned it, we've pictured what it would look like. We have driven over the mud and the dirt into our garage, and all the while imagining the moment where what we had been thinking of and picturing and hoping for would finally be smooth and complete. And this week, the day finally came. The issue is that the day came whilst we had to leave. It happened the day that we had to leave early for work. We saw the trucks had arrived. We saw that all of the forms had been laid out, and we took off to work knowing that when we returned from our day, that we would finally see that thing that we had been hoping for, and thinking of, and imagining for so long. And the sense that we've experienced, and maybe you've experienced this online shopping, right? You've purchased that thing and you know that it is arriving that day. Maybe you get a buzz on your doorbell. Maybe you see it on your cameras. Maybe you just get the notification that that thing has been delivered. How would you describe that sense that you go through for the rest of the day? I can tell you, for me, the only way that I could explain that sensation, how I felt all Thursday waiting to come home and see that driveway poured out in all of its glorious exposed aggregate glory, was anticipation. Waiting, not for something to happen, but to see and realize and experience what had happened. And this is the very essence of Advent. It's a season of knowing that something has already happened, that Jesus has come, the Savior has appeared, but it's also simultaneously, at the same time, a season of waiting, of slowing down, looking closely so that we can see the fullness of what we have been waiting for, what the world has been waiting for, poured into our hearts. Advent is a season that we hold in tension both the promises of God, knowing that He fulfilled His word by sending His Son, and that He will fulfill every promise that He has made about the future. Advent invites us into a rhythm of expectation. It invites us and reminds us that God's promises are sure, that what we are waiting for is already in motion, and one day, soon. And I would even expect, and what I am excited about today, is that someday soon, and even today, you can experience afresh, deeper, maybe even for the first time, the reality of what God has promised being poured into your heart. And ultimately, one day that we will see it in His future. So as we enter this Advent season, let's not rush past it. I know that this is a busy time of the year, that parties and presents and dinners, everything is just stacking up. And add to that, they send the kids home. Just when life gets busy, we've just got the kids in our house as well. I know that this season is busy, but my encouragement to you is don't go rushing through this Advent season. Slow down. Look again. Look deeply. Watch. Anticipate with your heart full of faith, because what we long for is already unfolding before our eyes. I want to invite you to slow down and enjoy Jesus. Perhaps one way that you can do that is to pick up a Bible reading plan. As a church, we've got a Bible reading plan that you can jump onto that we will be sending out for you. But I want you to participate. Participate in the waiting, participate in the anticipation, participate in the reality of what God has done for us and what He is wanting to do in us. There is a line in what I think is the greatest Christmas song of all time. I know, hot take, I know, it's O Holy Night. No debate. But the line goes like this: long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. I know you want me to sing, but I won't. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. This line, this little passage of that beautiful song, captures the whole of the Christmas story. That all of creation, that everyone, maybe even you today, was in this sitting, waiting, hurting, and then, beyond all expectation, beyond all hope, hope appeared. He appeared. I think about that for a moment. Think about that line. It says that the arrival of Jesus, the soul felt its worth. That the arrival of Jesus reveals the worth of every human soul, that the world longing for meaning, searching for significance, that His appearing speaks louder than words. Christmas then shouts that you are loved, you are seen, you are worth it. This is what you are looking for. The end of your weariness is here. Christmas in Bethlehem. The thing that you have been waiting for, looking for, and longing for has turned up. Paul writes it like this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. It says that all of those desires, everything that you've longed for, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is what Advent is all about. The appearing of Jesus, the Savior who came to meet the deepest needs of a broken world. And he didn't just come to bring a temporary fix. He didn't just come to add a new law upon his people. He didn't give shallow answers. He came to deal with the greatest enemy and problem humanity has ever faced, the destruction of death and the gift of true abundant life. And when you truly grasp, and what our hope is during this Advent season is when you truly grasp what it means for Jesus to have come, your soul can't help but respond. Your soul feels its worth because you realize that his arrival was for you. That this Advent season, we are going to explore the gifts that Jesus brings with his arrival, gifts that meet us in the deepest places of our heart. Four things that God gives to his people. And today we're going to have a look at the first of those, hope, and then peace and joy and love. And these aren't just nice and sentimental ideas. These are gifts of grace, gifts that are shallow enough for a child to swim in, but deep enough for you to explore forever. Hope. Let's talk about hope. Hope is perhaps the most universal longing of the human heart. I don't think it's an overreach to suggest that hope is perhaps the single greatest desire within every one of us. It's what drives us forward. It's what sustains us in difficult season. Hope is what gets us up and gets us going. And maybe that's why we use the word all the time. What was the last thing you heard yourself hope for? Right? What was that last thing? I mean, Christmas is a time for hope. What are you hoping for this Christmas? Really, usually when we use that word, it's more like an optimistic wish, right? It's like, I hope that the weather is good. I hope that she texts me back. I hope that I get a good report. And we use this word so casually, but what we often mean when we say it like that is just kind of wishful thinking. It's optimism, not assurance. It's the idea that maybe things will work out, or that we have this outlook, this kind of hope that maybe things will work out, but we're not really sure. And here is the problem with that kind of hope. That optimism that we talked about, weather, texting, relationships, good medical reports, getting that grade on your report card, whatever it is, all of these hopes that we have when we say it like that, they're all based on an outcome. They're all based on circumstances. And it imagines how things could turn out well, but it offers no guarantee. And optimism, what I've discovered, and maybe you've discovered this as well, optimism quickly fades in the face of difficulty because it has no foundation. It's just, how well can your imagination work in a certain direction? But I want to tell you today that Jesus did not come to offer you any old run-of-the-mill optimistic positivity. The hope that Jesus came to bring into your life, the hope that Jesus came to bring into the world, is entirely different. The Bible speaks of hope as something far more profound, something deeper, something richer than we could ever imagine. It's a confident expectation rooted not in circumstances, but rooted in the character and promises of God. This Jesus kind of hope says the future will be better than the present. Not because I can see how, but because I can trust who. In the Old Testament, the word for trust is the Hebrew word yachal, which means to wait with expectation. It's a picture of waiting, of just knowing, unmoving, because you know that someone will come through. Notice the focus here is not on what we are waiting for, but on who we're waiting on. And this is how the psalmist uses it. He says that my hope, my yakal, is in you, not the resolution of a situation, not in human effort, not in themselves, but in God himself. The people of God didn't just place their hopes, their desired outcomes, their optimism, their positive pictures of how they could see things coming to pass in God. They understood that God was their hope. They were waiting on him to do him, right? They were waiting on God to be God because they have discovered the character and the nature of God himself. And this kind of hope, this yichal, is not born out of wishful thinking. It's born out of God's faithfulness. It's anchored in the evidence that God has shown up before, that he's turned up in Egypt when they weren't expecting it. He turned up in Jericho when there was no way forward. He's turned up in lion's dens and temple walls that God, time and time again, on battlefields facing giants when no one thought that anything could happen. Not seeing how something could occur, but trusting that God would turn up and be God. That he has time and time again redeemed his people. Why? Because that's his nature. It's his grace. And our expectation, the people of God's waiting, was that God might just turn up and do what God does when he does. And throughout history, this God who shows up and redeems his people promises a redemption. Not just this temporary fix, not just a patch for our brokenness through a new law, but a salvation so vast, so complete, that it is bigger than we could ever possibly imagine. A promise of a deliverer, a savior, a king. And how does God deliver on that promise? He sends a son, his only son. He doesn't send a warrior. He doesn't send a tyrant. He doesn't send a ruler to beat the opposition. God turns up in the most unexpected way, and he comes to us as a child in a manger in Bethlehem, to a virgin. And through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, everything changes. He doesn't just appear to offer comfort. He comes to conquer, as Timothy said before, to destroy the very power of death and give life. And not just any old life. The life that Jesus comes and offers to us is a life free from the crushing weight of sin, free from the shame that weighs us down, free from the chains that hold us into our old ways of being, a life full of grace, a life full of purpose, a life full of truth, and a life full of hope. Scripture calls Christ in us the hope of glory. He himself is the assurance of God's redemptive plan. Why? Because in Bethlehem, we see that God comes through on his promise. If he can come through on his promise, then God changes not. He will come through on his promise again. And the writer of Hebrews says that this hope is an anchor to our soul. And sometimes I think we can read that scripture and think that just hope is an anchor for our soul. There's just any old hope. That is just, if you're going through life, what you need is just that next bump in your lifestyle. What you need is that next good report. But it's not any old hope that is an anchor for your soul. No, the writer of Hebrews says that it is this hope, that it's this hope that is an anchor for your soul. What hope is that? It's the hope that my eternity is no longer in question. It's the hope that Jesus has already done everything required to save me. That there's nothing I can do, add, purchase, or earn to buy my way into God's good graces and his forgiveness in redemption. As the hope that he is coming back soon to set everything right and to make all things good and perfect again. You read in the chapter before that, that it's that hope that he will come. He won't delay. He will be on time. Jesus is coming back. He came once and he will come again. This is the hope. It's this assurance in Jesus and his ability to do what he says that holds us. It's a hope that doesn't falter when life gets uncertain. It's a hope that holds you steady when your world feels like it's falling apart. And it's not just a hope for someday. This is a hope. This anchor is for us today, for right now. Maybe you today are in a place where your hope feels different. It feels lost. It feels far away. Maybe life has just been throwing you curveballs that you just didn't see coming. And maybe you look at the world around you right now. Turn on the news, you see conflict, you see injustice, you see chaos, and it feels overwhelming. Maybe it's personal. Maybe you're looking at your situation and you're thinking, I just can't see how this ends in any way that I would call good. And because of that, you just feel hopeless. If that's you, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this today, that hope is available to you. And not the fragile kind of hope that comes and goes, but the unshakable hope that comes in Jesus. A hope that doesn't put us to shame, a hope that doesn't disappoint. It doesn't fade in the face of adversity. It doesn't go away when we can't see how it can come out, because it's not dependent on circumstances. It's dependent on God, and God does not fail. It's this hope that fills the waiting, that strengthens the weary, and lifts the brokenhearted. This is the hope that anchors your soul. Have you ever had somebody tell you this? Usually in response to your optimism, usually because you were getting pumped about something that was coming up, and they've looked at you and they've said this: don't get your hopes up, right? Don't get your hopes too high. Why? Because they can't see how that thing that you're hoping might happen could come to pass. Or maybe after something went wrong, you've sat there and you thought, next time I just shouldn't get my hopes up like that. And I want to tell you, perhaps what you need to do, perhaps what this whole Advent purpose for you this year is, for you to not fall into that lie. Don't shrink back and just buy into that narrative of don't get your hopes up. My encouragement to you, or could I suggest to you, that what you need is not to not get your hopes up, but to get your hopes higher. To lift your hopes up beyond the next best good report and get your hopes up where they belong in Christ, back above circumstances and into God's character. And when you do that, you discover that this kind of hope is transformative. Look at how this plays out in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the confidence of what we hoped for and the assurance about what we do not see." Faith does not come from seeing how things can come out. Hope is rooted. It is born out of hope. Faith comes from the assurance that God is able to do what he said he would do. It's an active trust in the God who has proven himself faithful. Faith then is hope expressed. It's expressing ourselves in the way that we act and think and live and relate to the world and the people around us. But for this faith to take root in our lives, we need a revelation of hope. We need to see clearly, not something distant or intangible, but as the bedrock of our lives, that a living, breathing certainty that shapes every decision, every step, every moment. And this hope isn't just something that is there and that happens at the end of our lives. It's not just about eternity, though it is secured by that. Hope is the experience of the Christian life right now. It is the expectation that the same God who came in a manger, as surprising and as unsettling and as unthinkable as that was, as much as he surprised the world in the humblest, most unexpected ways, he can turn up just like that in your life today. That he can turn up in our lives at any moment and change everything. This is the life that we live. This is the life of a believer, that wherever we are, whatever we are walking through, we can walk in hope. Hope that God's character hasn't changed. Hope that his prior performance in our lives points to a greater reality, that God is never far away from intervening. Even if you can't see it right now, he is never far away from turning things around for good. Think about it. Time and time again, God has shown himself to be faithful, whether it's in scripture, whether it's in the stories of others, or whether it's in the story of your life. You've seen it, that he steps in. That our God, just like he did in Bethlehem, arrives when we least expect it, when things seem impossible, when we can't see it. God, because of God's own grace, has brought light into darkness, joy into sorrow, purpose into brokenness. And why won't he do it again? This is the hope that tells you and I, no matter where we are, no matter how difficult or uncertain the road may seem, God is still God. His promises are still true. His power is still unmatched. Hope says that God isn't done. Hope says that He can and He will. Hope says that even here, right now, right in the middle of this, my God can turn it around. This is why faith isn't passive. This isn't why faith is just a feeling. This is why faith is an active trust in the direction of our hope. It's not just believing that God might do something. It's living in a way that is confident that He will do it. It's making choices. It's taking steps. It's speaking well. It's loving others. It's trusting Him in ways that declare, I know who my God is, and I know what He's done, and I know that He will do it again. Hope, friends, is available to you today because of Christmas. Hope is brought into our lives as surprising as a manger in Bethlehem. And when we live with that kind of faith, rooted in this kind of hope, it changes everything. It changes how we see our circumstance. It changes how we walk through the most challenging of moments. And friends, if you are walking through what feels like the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to worry because you can't see how it might turn out, that God can't turn it around for good. Whatever you're walking through, let this hope rise in your heart. Let it remind you that God's character is unchanging, His power is unstoppable, and His presence is closer than you think. He is not far away. And as the old preacher used to say, if the story's not good, the story's not done. If you're a believer, my prayer for you is, as Paul prayed in Romans 15:13, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? As you trust in Him, as you walk in a way that says, God, I know who You are, you will overflow with this confidence that God will make tomorrow better than today. My prayer is that this Christmas season, hope would abound. My encouragement for you is get your hopes up. Get them up. Believe that God will do what He said. Because you see, in the Old Testament, hope in the Old Testament was waiting for Christ. Hope in the New Testament is waiting for Christ's return. The Gospels begin in the Gospel of Luke of Jesus coming down from heaven and ends with Him going back up. And then Luke, the writer of Acts, begins by describing in Acts God's rising back up into heaven, Christ's ascension again, but He doesn't end it with Christ coming down. Why is that? It's because we are looking ahead, that He, as the angel said, that this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go. This is the heartbeat of Christianity. That Jesus' first arrival marked the moment that heaven and earth connected, and His second coming will be the moment that they are fully completed. His first arrival brought light into darkness. His second arrival will bring a dawn of new creation. His first coming, He said, it is finished. His second coming, He's going to say, it is complete. And as N.T. Wright says, Christians are Advent people. We live with the joy of Jesus' first coming. The idea that God does what He says He will do, and we live with the longing, the waiting, the anticipation of His return. The same God who came once will do it again. And when He does, He will set everything right. Jesus is our hope. He is our living hope. This hope is not far off. Friends, can I encourage you this week as you journey through whatever it is that life is throwing towards you, to look again at the story of Christmas. Look again at how surprising, how unexpected God can intervene into the story of humanity. And if you are facing difficulty, if you're facing circumstance, be filled with hope, with joy and peace, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that He will do it again in your life. Now, I know that there are people maybe watching this today that do not know Jesus, if you don't know this hope, this invitation that I'm about to make is for you. The Advent isn't just a story 2,000 years ago. It is about what God is doing right now. It's about the hope that is available to you today through Jesus Christ. This is your moment. The same God who stepped into a world that was far from Him in Bethlehem can step into your life today. He sees you. He loves you. And He is inviting you to experience the life, the joy, the peace, the hope, and ultimately the love that only He can give. So I would hate to leave this moment without the offer for you to not leave this moment unchanged, but to open your heart to the one who came and the one who is coming again and who today can come into your life and fill your heart with hope. Let's pray. Jesus, today I thank you for the gift that you are to the world. Father, we thank you that you would send your Son into the world that we might have hope in him. And we thank you that your promises are true. We thank you, God, that you will always do what you said. You cannot lie. And God, we thank you that you offer to everyone a hope that doesn't put us to shame. You offer to everybody, everyone who would choose to put their faith and their trust in you, eternal life. And so God, I pray today you would fill those that know you with a hope that they cannot contain. And God, today for those who don't know you, I pray that you would stir them, invite them, woo them back into a place of realizing that you alone are the one they have been looking for all along. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We cannot wait to see you again real soon.